Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 13th, 2014. And with me today, I have my partners in wonderful nerddom. Kelly Gumont, how are you, Kelly?
I'm a little chilly, but doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Brian Chaffin, I hope you're not chilly, Brian.
Wow.
Oh, poor Brian.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, Casper Mattresses, and I'll be talking about them soon. So hold on, people. It's going to be a fun ride. The topics that I picked out for today, they kind of have a theme, loosely. I guess we could call this the copycat episode. And yeah, so the first thing I wanted to take a look at, it's the news that YouTube is getting into the streaming music market. And so on Monday, they're launching a beta of their service, and it will be called YouTube Music Key. So the company that's known for having like a gajillion music videos online that people can watch for free, as long as they don't mind having ads splattered all over them, they're now starting a service where you pay and you'll get to listen to music and watch videos ad free.
Interesting. It's interesting. You know, it's about time Google got into the streaming music business because, you know, heretofore its complete absence in this business has been kind of a gaping hole in Google's portfolio.
Yeah, how about that? Oh, wait.
did I make a mistake in my comment there?
No, not at all. No, it's not like Google has ever released a product like Google Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's important that people know that Google owns Yahoo.
YouTube.
Google does not own Yahoo, for the record.
What is my problem this week?
Let's try this over again.
I'm tossing the wrong dates around. I'm randomly changing company names. Wow.
So
let's start at the top. YouTube, video service powered by cats, as we all know. YouTube is owned by Google. That's not news. That happened a long time ago in the internet terms. Now, YouTube has a partnership with a company called Vevo, which is where a lot of air quote official music videos come from. We all know there's a lot of unofficial music videos on YouTube, but you can see a lot of official stuff and official channels from artists on YouTube and see their videos through this partnership that YouTube has with Vevo. I don't know what the whole situation is between the two of them, but it did for quite a while make YouTube a nice outlet for being able to see music videos, because not everybody, I mean, we all know you can't really watch them on MTV anymore. So if you wanted to see them, this was a really convenient way to make that happen, which was kind of nice. But
and
I do
Yahoo
think it's very
fit
funny
into
that
this at all, except
there
in
is
some weird twisted fantasy way in my head.
Except Jeff has a neural pathway that has frozen solid and snapped. So to me, what's funny about this is, like you guys were talking about Google Play. I was going to say, you know, I know that Google Play has music in it, but it's not really a streaming service the way we think of. You know, RDO and Spotify and things like that as streaming services, and Beats, you know, let's just put it out there. So I sort of wonder if what happened here was Apple bought Beats and got the Beats service as well as the Beats headphones and started looking at what, you know, and Google got wind of this and was like, hey, maybe we should buy a music. Wait.
You know, well, it's like a sound test, isn't it, Jeff?
yes, it is.
I cannot imagine a scenario in which it took Apple buying Beats for Google to think that they should be doing this.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this has been building up for some time. And actually, now that I think about it, I recall hearing rumors a year-ish ago about YouTube getting into music streaming. So, yeah, so maybe this has been something that's building up for well over a year.
Well, streaming was something that got really popular, and people at some point, you know, whoever they are, they decided that streaming was the way of the future. And so this is what they were going to do. So I think really the only question to be asked this week is whether or not you're going to be able to play Taylor Swift on this new streaming music service.
Maybe, maybe not. That remains to be seen, because it doesn't launch until the 17th. They did claim to have 30 million songs, but whether or not that includes Taylor Swift's 40 right. or 50 contributions remains to be seen. But, you know, we were talking this morning in our daily staff meeting, and Adam Christensen brought up Trent Reznor's comments.
Uh-huh.
Of about 2 weeks ago, when Trent Reznor gave an interview and he talked about streaming music and talked about how streaming music was probably the way to monetize music for the future.
Right.
And one of his examples, of course, was YouTube, where he said that he said there's a whole generation of kids who basically don't want to pay for anything and don't want to pay right. for any music, in part because they can listen to this stuff on YouTube, you know, complete with a bunch of ads sitting on top of the videos, and they can just get the stuff for free. So I don't know if there's a direct correlation there, but I find it interesting that the place he was talking about is the place that Google is using to brand this, because they could have branded it with anything they wanted. Didn't have to be the YouTube brand. Didn't have to be the YouTube folks doing this.
I find that interesting too, because that tells me that the people that are most likely to be targeted with this service are already using YouTube. And if they're already using YouTube, then they're already comfortable with videos of music with ads on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to be fair, there's a world of difference between streaming music as we've come to know it and hunting and pecking until you find a particular video that you're looking for. I mean, it's not even right. not even in the same realm.
But there's also now there's like the built-in sort of the top hit over on the right-hand side, you know, in the related section. Whenever I look up something on YouTube, whatever it is I'm looking for, the video that I end up watching, when I find the one I'm looking for, the top right one, it's always like one of like a playlist, and it like auto mixes some sort of playlist for me. So I would imagine if I was doing music videos and I'm going and looking up Matthew Good videos, or They Might Be Giants videos that nobody really played or anything like that, that I would get sort of a station of like 50 videos that were all sort of similar.
Yeah, but again, it's still not as easy as a dedicated streaming service.
Oh, that's totally true.
All right, so Kelly, I have a question. Since you have listened to music through the traditional YouTube channel or system, do you also listen to music through Spotify, Pandora, or iTunes Radio?
I do use iTunes Radio. I have complained about it in the past, and it's actually gotten better. A little bit of time invested in training it has really helped a lot as far as iTunes Radio goes. I still have more trouble with Pandora stations than I do with iTunes Radio. I use Spotify really rarely, and it tends to be like if somebody is sharing a link to a song or to a playlist and I want to check it out, I'll use Spotify for that. But for the most part, I'm not a big Spotify user. And usually when I'm looking, I'm not looking to listen to music. Like, I own all the Matt Good it is possible to own. I went and bought all of it. but I don't get the videos with a lot of that stuff. So I'm actually doing, whenever I have looked up music, it's been to look up a specific video. Like, I haven't seen this video. Does it still exist? Can I watch it? Because I miss music videos because I'm old school like that. So I haven't, I tend to do it for music videos. Or have, did you ever see, oh my gosh, Jeff, did you ever see the video for Anna Ang by They Might Be Giants? Because they used to play it all the time back when MTV played music videos. I know that sounds weird, but you should totally check it out. Here's a link. And then I can actually share it with somebody else.
Okay. I have a feeling that your experience is probably on par with a lot of other music users, actually, where they have other music services that they're using on some level, but may have an interest in videos that go along with them or So where I'm going with this is that I'm curious how many people YouTube will be able to convert into customers that are already in a position like you and like me, where we have alternate services that we're using for various things. And will there be enough value in that $8 a month to make something like YouTube Music Key worthwhile?
Well, it'll be $10 unless you're helping out in the beta process.
Right. Okay. So yeah. So beta users will get it for $8 a month and with 6 months free, and then everyone else, when it officially launches next year sometime, will be paying $10 a month.
Okay.
And Mike,
that does seem on par with other services.
Yeah, and my guess is that they'll have some modicum of success, but they're not going to plow over Spotify and Beats and iTunes Radio.
No, this isn't going to become Google's new, defining model. Business model.
Right. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, which I believe I have already mentioned, and that sponsor is Casper Mattresses. And so I've been testing out one of their mattresses for, a couple weeks now, and have been very pleasantly surprised. Their mattresses are this latex and memory foam hybrid thing, and they're surprisingly comfortable and far more affordable than comparable products. The mattress that I have, it's the queen size, $850, as opposed to like well over $1,000 for a comparable mattress, and you can get different sizes, priced from like $750 up to $950, and one of the things that I thought was a really cool feature about their mattresses, besides the fact that they're comfortable, is that they give you a 100-day return policy. So
nice.
Yeah, so it actually gives you time to test it out and see if it works. Because
it's a long return time.
Yeah,
it is. But when you think about it, it totally makes sense, because if you've never slept on a foam mattress before, the change to that at first can be kind of weird, because it doesn't feel like what you're used to, and your brain could translate to this isn't comfortable, even though it is. And so you need a little bit of time to adjust. And so they've built that into the return policy. And
that's a generous return
policy. Very generous, yeah.
Yeah. And
now, Jeff, didn't you also mention that they won't take returns in the first 30 days to give you a chance to really live with it?
Yeah, they want you to keep the mattress for at least 30 days so that you can really decide if it's the bed for you. And I thought that was nice, because that would just be really crappy to buy a mattress and then find out once you get it that it doesn't work for you, because not every mattress is for every person. So
right.
So giving people that comfort of knowing that if they get this and don't like it, they can return it. That's really nice. And that also adds in a nice level of confidence, because this is something that you're buying online, and you can't test it by laying down on your computer screen. So
it's true.
Yeah, although I bet someone will try.
Yeah, I bet someone will. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, these mattresses are really comfortable, and I'm very pleased so far with the one that I've been using. And like I said, I've been tracking my sleep patterns, because I'm an insomniac. And tomorrow I'm going to tally up the changes that I've experienced since getting my mattress, and I'll let you guys know if I'm sleeping better, the same, or worse on on the mattress. So head over to casper.com/TDO and check them out. You'll get a $50 discount for buying a mattress.
And through that link.
Through that link, yep. And the discount code is TDO. And yeah, go check it out and get yourself a mattress, because as far as I'm concerned, everyone deserves a good night's sleep. So thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week.
Sweet.
Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to take a look at real quick before we totally run out of time is Samsung's unblemished track record of innovation.
Yeah.
And by that, what I mean is that Samsung yesterday announced a brand new feature that they will be bringing to their Android smartphone customers and tablet customers called Flow. And it lets you take the content you're working on in one device and instantly jump to another device and continue working with that content. If that sounds familiar, it's because Apple called it continuity.
Yeah, this isn't the kind of thing that gets me up in arms, like Samsung deliberately copying icons and the physical design of our early iPhone and iPad models. You know, that stuff makes me very, very tense. This just makes me kind of laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a feature I look at where I'm like, okay, this is a natural progression. This is something that people are expecting, because we don't work from a single device anymore. We have mobile devices. In many cases, we will have multiple mobile devices. And being able to deal with our content on any screen size without having to think about which device we're grabbing totally makes sense. So at some point, Samsung needed to do this. It's just,
well, yeah, I suppose they needed to do this, except for the fact that I doubt they're going to be able to do it very well. I mean, you know, this is something they're adding on top of Android. And the big difference here is that Apple controls the hardware and the software utterly, and Samsung does not control Android utterly. Plus, how many people really have a Samsung device stack in the same way that people have Apple device stacks?
That's a really good question. And I'm going to bet that that even though by volume Samsung sells more product, that there are far fewer people that have an armada of Samsung gear that they'll be able to link together in this way.
So did they announce which devices will work yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, there is no way this is going to be on anything but the high-end devices, mm-hmm. which do not outsell Apple.
Yeah. I was going to say it's probably only going to be on like whichever one they're about to announce for a tablet and whichever one they have just announced for a phone. Because remember, everybody went, oh, Samsung beat Apple to the market with a watch. But that watch only worked with one model of one device.
Well, and you're using the word worked pretty loosely.
Yeah, I'm being pretty generous with that definition. I will say that. But
yeah.
But the I could actually see them going back even to the Galaxy S4 on this. Certainly the Galaxy S5, probably the Note products, and as well as Samsung's the Galaxy Tab devices. But you know, I mean, it's not gonna. LOL, Samsung.
Yeah, you know, like I was saying.
No, I'm gonna go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. Like I was saying, I see this as a natural progression of features that need to come, but the way it's happening, it feels like it will, as Brian said, probably be very limited. And it feels like a Me Too announcement, because the continuity is out, and now they're saying, oh, we're not doing this. We are going to do this. So they've announced a feature that that doesn't technically exist yet, at least as far as consumers are concerned.
Okay, so it is a Me Too announcement. And I would say that the release of the Galaxy Gear smartwatch was a Me Too announcement, even though Apple hadn't even announced the Apple Watch yet. Just because everybody in the planet was already expecting Apple to do that at the time. It was just, you know, the Galaxy Gear was this desperate attempt to appear innovative that fooled roughly no one. But to me, this is no more of a – this particular announcement is no more of a Me Too announcement than Apple finally making phablets and larger smartphones.
You said that word on purpose. I know it.
I did.
Yeah. And yes. And you're right that it's no more of a Me Too announcement than those other things. Samsung, however, has created an environment where when they make these announcements, the perception, regardless of how they come about, is that they're doing a copycat move.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. Now, I want to disagree with you, Jeff, a tiny bit, because you said this was something that needed to happen. I don't think it needed to happen for Samsung. I think it needs to happen for Android.
Yeah.
I think this is something that Google should have made part of Lollipop.
That's excellent.
Android L, right? Because then it would be easier. Like, I have a Nexus 7, the second gen Nexus 7 tablet. I like it. It's a nice tablet. For what I wanted it to do, I have an iPad Air. You know, for that, it's fine. But if I were to consider another phone for whatever reason, it might be appealing to me to be able to, if I bought a Samsung phone, have it work with my Nexus tablet. And right now, I just don't see that kind of cooperation happening from hardware manufacturer to hardware manufacturer across the Android platform, which is too bad because it would be great if that were the case.
Well, they don't make any money on their hardware, so there's not a lot of impetus to make that sort of thing happen. I mean, you know, it's sure. you get this has been the case for ever, at least in the PC market, at least going back to the 90s. The openness of Android brings all sorts of benefits, including a jillion makers with a jillion tastes and a jillion designers, and you know, plenty of companies willing to address the low unprofitable end of the market. And Apple's control brings about a better experience and hardware products that are generally speaking fantastic. And continuity, the concept of continuity, is one of those things that Apple's always going to be able to do better than any of the rest of the hegemony on the other side.
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree. And we're like totally out of time. So I'll wrap up by saying it sounds like what Google has done unintentionally by creating an open platform was to create an environment where we have artificially gardened systems within that platform, which is very frustrating for end users. And on that note, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
You bet.
And Kelly, thank you too.
Anytime.
And all of our listeners that want to have a good night's sleep, go check out casper.com/TDO. Use the $50 discount and buy yourself a good mattress. And we will see you guys tomorrow.